chapter number 8. Of course, the judgment continues with Israel. And tonight, the message, don't forget God. Don't forget God. I thank God that you came tonight and honored him. You didn't forsake the assembly. It might have been hard for some of you to get here. I know some of you came straight from work. I know somebody like that. And she was tugging which way to go. And, you know, I'm tired, but she made it to the house of God. I said, those are the times God has a message for you. So in Hosea chapter 8, let me read it down through verse 4. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Let's read verse 4 out loud together. Ready? They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Let's pray. Father, may we keep our eyes on you, Lord, and follow you and not forget you. This world tugs at us every day, and the old flesh and the devil, but Lord, you're greater. And so I pray for our dear flock here tonight, Lord. Thank you for our visitors you gave us today. I pray that you would work in their life. Be with those who are traveling and away in other states, and bring them back home safe. Lord, we do want to pause and thank you for your greatness and goodness. We extol you and adore you, and just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for the world. Thank you for John 3:16, Lord, and the power of the gospel, the power to change lives. Lord, I pray tonight that our people will be encouraged and strengthened, and Lord, just helped is my prayer. Help them, Lord, to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. Help them on this sojourn, and Lord, we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. As Christians, we should be totally dependent upon the Lord. I had a dear pastor when we first started the church, September 27th, 1993, that wrote me a letter, and he said, Greg, just stay depending on the Lord. If you'll do that, God will take care of everything else. And a lot of times we stray from that. Are you depending on the Lord totally? Don't be independent of the Lord. If you're not depending on the Lord, then you're depending on yourself. And I'll just give you my wife's favorite passage of Scripture. It's her life's verse, and that's in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you don't know which direction to take, you don't know where your purpose is in life, remember this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Maybe you can quote it with me. We'll try. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So when we're trusting in him and depending on him, things go better. In verses 1 through 4, they have picked who they wanted instead of God's pick. I remember as a child we used to play this game back in Kentucky. Red Rover, Red Rover. Send somebody over, you know, they would pick the teams, you know, who would be on each side. Of course, you try to go through and break through. But sometimes you didn't get picked as a little kid. And you were always discouraged. They didn't pick you for the game. And you know what? God has a way of knowing who to pick, doesn't he? You remember David. When he was chose, you know, to be the king to replace Saul, he wasn't the likely pick. He was a little scrawny, wasn't he? And a little stripling, they called him. But he was God's pick. You see, God knows how to pick. Amen. You may be left out with man, but you're not left out with God. Amen. And so he knows what he's doing. We don't. Do we take God's pick or God's plans? Do we take God's decisions as our own? If we don't listen to God, there will be regrets and consequences. And friends, it'll keep you up at night. And sometimes old devil beats you up, won't he? He'll throw that guilt on you. I wish I'd have done that. If I'd have just done this, or I would have just done that. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward what? The mark, the prize for the high calling. You can't change your past, but friends, the future is as bright as the promises of God. By the way, if you've messed up in the past and you've asked God to forgive you, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let the devil come beating you up and making you feel down. You've already been forgiven. What sins are you talking about is what God says. It's under the blood. So I'm thankful that the Lord can forgive and He can go forward. You can't say, I knew it not, when you picked the wrong decision. You can't say that. In verse 4 again, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes. I knew it not. Yeah, we make decisions. Are you breathing? We make decisions that we know what we're doing, and sometimes it's not got God in the plans. You ever been guilty? I think we all have. But you know what? You might say, I didn't know it at the time. But surely you can't say that God didn't know it, because God knows all things. He's omniscient. And we do reap what we sow. We sure do. Hold your place here and go to Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians chapter 6. I've always liked verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But let's back up to 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, what? Soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. In due season, if we faint not. But if we faint, we're not going to reap. And so a lot of times we take things into our own hands and we reap it. We're not depending on the Lord, but God surely knows all about it. He sees it. He sees all of our life. That's right. Don't forget God. Don't forget your Maker. We do have a Maker, don't we? We're going to stand before our Maker one day. Let's look at verse 5. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they abstain to innocency? For from Israel was it also the workman made. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. That Israel was into deep idol worship, killing their babies, Baal worship, all types of immorality, and they're going to be reaping what they've sowed. Verse 7, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. Friends, what we need to be focused on is sowing good things. Sowing the seed, sowing the Lord Jesus Christ, giving people the gospel, right? We were talking to a couple this today for lunch, and they were talking about all the little kids coming and such, and how the Lord's working in the lives of little children. I wish I had that poem that I sent you, Joy, but you know, when you invest in little kids like that, they're so cute, but you know, they need to be put on the right path, and it's an investment for eternity. It's never wrong to invest in the little ones, and it's never wrong to invest in the old ones, right? And everybody in between, too. But I'm thankful that we have a Bible. Hold your place there and go to Isaiah 55. Back to the left. Is it warm in here to you, or is it just me? I had a man in our church named Steve Wells, and he gave me this corduroy coat. How long ago? 15 years ago? Hang on. That coat is designed for Ohio. Not Arizona. Isaiah 55, if you will. Talking about this, don't forget God. Verse 8, Isaiah 55. Are you there? Let me read this to you. Listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Oftentimes we just think our ways the right ways, but our ways and our thoughts are not the Lord's. And He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful, He's omnipresent, He can be wherever He wants to. And I'm glad of that we have that kind of God. What a God we have, that He knows and He cares and He's with us and He can help us. He's a very present help in time of trouble. It doesn't matter when you want to come to Him. You can come to Him. His phone line is never busy. Amen. His voicemail is whatever, is never full. Hallelujah. He is there all the time if we'll approach Him in humility and in prayer, the prayers of the saints. Don't forget your Maker, because He loves you. Go to Psalm 100. We read in Sunday school Psalm 92 about it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. But Psalm 100, I was telling Joshua, a brand new Christian, I said, you need to read a proverb every day, but it's also good to read in the Psalms, I think, some every day. I normally, brothers and sisters, read a little bit in the Psalms, Harold, every night before I go to bed, and they so encourage me. And so try that. Keep your Bible. You need to read the Bible in the morning and in the evening. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Are you at Psalm 100? Watch this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath what? He's your Maker. Not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Back over in Hosea chapter 8. Yet, church, we know this, we've heard it, But sometimes we can forget God, our Maker. That's what happened to Israel. I'll read on down here, 8 through the end of the chapter. Israel swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Don't let the word of God be a strange thing to you. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity. See, they're going to reap and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker and buildeth temples. And Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon the cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. You know, God can take that which is little. He can make much out of, can he? I read it this morning in the book of Judges about Gideon. God got that crowd down to 300, didn't he? And he had pitchers in their hand, pots in their hands, and trumpets. He said, blow the trumpets and shout the sword of the Lord of Gideon. They broke those pitchers all, and they saw those lights, and God turned the enemy upon themselves with their own swords. You see, God can take little and destroy the enemy. Oh, friend, I hope we don't forget God like Israel. Don't forget him this Thanksgiving. It's not just about stuffing your stuffing and turkey with stuffing and your stomach with stuffing, although we love Thanksgiving dinner. And yes, you do love the skin and the thighs and the legs and all the gooey stuff Brother Larry likes. He's got to get that good cholesterol. Amen. That's his part. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, but don't forget your Maker. Don't forget from where all good and perfect gifts come from. They come from above, don't they? Take time to say the blessing. Be thankful for your God. Don't forget God this Thanksgiving. Don't forget to pray. Prayer can be evil. Prayer can be evil. You're looking at me kind of funny. Go to Proverbs 28:9. I've never heard of a prayer that was evil. I've always told people, it don't hurt to pray. Tell them that, Proverbs 28:9. It don't hurt to pray. I think I got your attention on that one, didn't I? Prayer can be evil. Look at Proverbs 28:9. Let me read it to you. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. God hates that. It's abomination. Even the prayer can be abomination if you forget your Maker. Israel forgot him. Forgot the Lord. Sometimes in the pulpit, and you know, I just want to express my thanks to God for you folks, because as Kathy and I were standing back at the door, many shook our hands today going out, and there were tears at the altar today. God was working today. But people said, Pastor, I prayed for you. I prayed for you that God would put the words in your mouth. I prayed for you And you know, it's amazing when God's working like that. I mean, I had notes this morning, but I didn't use them. You know why? God was putting the words in my mouth. And the Spirit was working. Sometimes that's the way it is. You get up to preach, you don't always hit a home run. Brother Jackson, you don't always hit a home run. Babe Ruth struck out more than he hit home runs. But if your heart's right and you're doing it, sometimes God just, he gives you a little bit of that fresh oil. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think he gives it to you just for anything. I don't think he just fills you with his Spirit for anything. I heard a preacher, I think he quoted R.A. Torrey. He said, listen, if our prayers are not hooked up with the Great Commission, God doesn't even have to answer our prayers. I mean, God can. You think about that. If our prayers are not hitched to the Great Commission, what is the Great Commission? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What's that talking about? The Great Commission. Missions, souls, the gospel, Jesus saving your soul from an awful place called hell. If your prayers aren't hitched up to that, he doesn't have to answer your prayer. Now, God can do it. Have you heard this? This just in. It's not in my notes. Before you get saved, you're of your father the devil, is what the Bible says. What is that? John chapter 8? You're of your father the devil. You don't have a heavenly father if you're not saved. So if you're not saved tonight, get it settled. Get your name written down in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, and go to walk out of here a new person. Amen? If you're not saved, trust Jesus tonight. But before you're saved, you're of your father the devil. I heard this. God is not mandatory required to hear and answer your prayer if you're not saved. Think of that. Now, can God do it? I've heard precious Roman Catholic people say, yeah, I prayed every day and God answers my prayer. Well, he can, but he doesn't have to. When you're right with God and you're saved and you have a heavenly Father, oh, you can pray in Jesus' name, right? And if you're not asking amiss to consume it among your lust, he will answer your prayer. Sometimes when, as a pastor, you're preaching, you have great liberty to preach. And there is utterance. Paul prayed for utterance in the Bible. What is utterance? Utterance is this. You should pray for me, utterance. That people out here in the pew, man, we had one whole pew with one family. When a preacher, a pastor has utterance, they may not like you. They may hate you. They may be convicted. They may be holding on to the pew in conviction. They may have the white knuckles. But when you have the utterance of the Bible, they cannot deny that you're preaching the truth, and they will not be indifferent to the Word of God. They may not like you, but they'll have to say, that's right. That's utterance. And unction. When you have the Holy Spirit helping you to preach. Paul said, pray for him that the Word of God would have free course and that the Lord would give him boldness. There's that fresh oil that's, I believe, in Psalm 92 it talks about. And it's okay. Lord, anoint my preacher and his lips with the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. That's okay to pray, and sometimes that happens. Maybe I was up all night and I have a migraine. I don't know. But God can still use those times, right? You can preach on tithing. People get convicted and come to the altar and get saved. His ways are not our ways. Maybe the preacher's on fire and the Holy Ghost is thick God's Spirit is working. And sometimes, listen, there's a lot of irritations going on. Babies are squalling, crawling up the walls, things going on. Even when you're preaching, I've had people recently, and it seems like the Lord was just giving that liberty to preach. People got up out of the pew and ran out the door. That's normal. They're not saved. The devil's trying to take them to hell. And they're mad. They're not mad at me. They're mad at the God. They're getting cut like I showed you in Acts chapter 7, right? Where they wanted to gnash on Stephen with their teeth. They were cut to the heart. When this happens, church, it saddens us. It hurts us. And we should pray for those people, right? That God would convict them and bring them back to a point where they can get saved. I hope you do pray for those people. Why? Because they're blinded. They're blinded to the truth. They're spiritually discerned. They don't have the Lord. We don't need to forget God in those times either. I saw on the news this week, there was a lady that she was pro-choice. She wanted abortions to happen. Isn't that sad? When people protest and they want little babies killed, all for their pleasure, their physical pleasure. That's what abortion's about, right? Let me do what I want to do. Forget about the little baby. But this woman, she was pro-choice, and a woman who was pro-life was talking to her and begging her. And the woman who was pro-abortion just took her hand, bam, hit the woman in the face. And I thought, man, how sad is that? But really, she's doing what's normal for a person that's not saved. What is she? She's blinded. She's blinded. When a pastor's trying to preach Jesus and the gospel and they get out and run out, or whatever, they're blinded. And I think the people in Hosea's day were blinded. They were blinded. Even Christians can get blinded to the truth. And we have to be careful that we don't forget God. God knows what He's doing. Let's stand together.